fast breaks to half-court sets, three-point shots, and slam dunks.
It's awesome, baby!
One thing remains certain, no matter what happens, it all ends in madness. This is the ESPNU College Basketball Podcast. Here's your host, Andy Katz.
Welcome to a special edition of the ESPNU College Basketball Podcast. We are here in downtown Indianapolis. Got the ESPN.com. How many people do we have here? One, two, three, four, five. Mark Schlabaugh is to my left, which you, of course, can't see because this is a podcast. Eamon Brennan directly across from me at the table. Dan O'Neill to my right. And to my immediate right, Pat Forty. I'm going to start with you, Pat.
Yes, sir.
Everyone I've talked to tonight, this being Sunday night, says that Duke's going to win. No shot for Butler. Do you have any? Have you talked to any of your sources that consider a potential Butler upset?
Yes, Andy. Let me tell you why. Now, I did today talk to several people that were involved in the two landmark upsets in recent NCAA tournament history: North Carolina State over Houston, 1983; Villanova over Georgetown, 1985. All of them, I talked to four people, all said they think Butler has a chance to win. Kind of surprised me, but. They love the fact that Butler has a 24-game winning streak, just refuses to get beaten, that they can control tempo, they can make the game go the way they want to play. At least that's the way that has been their tendency here. And most people don't think Duke can shoot that that well again on another night.
Now, before we get to our other guests here, I'm going to keep them waiting with bated breath here. Let's drive the content to ESPN.com to this story. Expound a little. Let's start with Dave Rose, who was on the Houston Cougar team. What was his angle being on the other side of the upset with NC State in 1983?
Yeah, Dave Rose, the current Brigham Young coach, said, first of all, he's in love with Butler. Thinks that the bigger question is not what does Butler need to do to stop Duke. It is, can Duke stop, as he put it, the runaway freight train that is Butler with this winning momentum. He thinks that being able to dictate tempo is going to be an important key for Butler. Likes him from that standpoint. And he said, you know, when there were 5 minutes left in that game in 83, they were up seven and going to the line. He said that he actually literally thought, we're going to win the national championship. And it got away from him. And he thought maybe the expectation we're going to win actually worked against his team, where the same thing could possibly happen to Duke this time.
Now, if you can hear any background music, it is acoustic night here in Indianapolis. So let's also deal with NC State on the other side. Talk to Sidney Lowe and Derek Rittenberg, which was the backcourt from that 83 team. What did they say it took to pull off an upset like this?
A couple of things. First of all, they stone cold believed they were going to win. Secondly, Sidney Lowe told a good story about how he thought Houston was overconfident, where on the Sunday between games, they practiced, went hard at it. They're coming off the floor, and Houston is sauntering in, sunglasses, Walkmans, back in the days of Walkmans, slippers, and the players, he said, didn't seem...
Are slippers still in?
I don't think so. But didn't seem ready to practice. He thought that they had won the national title the night before in the high-altitude game against Louisville and just kind of had to get through the next game, which a lot of people thought the Saturday night game against West Virginia was the national championship game. So he was kind of drawing the parallel here. We'll see if it works out that way. I have a hard time seeing Duke being overconfident, but there may be some susceptibility to a letdown there.
You know, the one I don't see that parallel with Duke though. I mean, Duke has been much more disciplined for something like I'm gonna bring in Dana O'Neill here to my far right, which once again you cannot see on this podcast. Dana. You've been like the top seed here, and you've been, basically the homer for Duke this whole tournament. No, I'm kidding. So why do you think Duke will win and basically shoot down this Butler dream that Pat has?
Well, I think if Duke is going to win, the way they're going to win is they're going to do what they've been doing all season, which is rebounding. They're beating teams by 10 boards a game in the NCAA tournament. And I don't know that they're going to shoot like they did on Saturday night, but even if they don't, if they get enough rebounds, they can keep their possessions alive and they can beat them.
If Duke wins, though, and we also want to drive content to our ESPN video blog, we talked about all of this, but for those that aren't watching that, instead choosing to listen to this and download, what would be the reaction if Duke just wins another one and it's just number four?
Well, like I said before, I think first of all, I think a lot of disappointed people because they want Butler to win. But the people that want Duke to win, I think, you know, I think they'll say that Duke is kind of back. I don't know if they're all the way back, but it's been a long time. They need this. This is not a great Duke team. If they can win this, I think that's proven that this team has really come together at the right time.
I'm going to go to my left because, as you can hear in the background, Eamon Brennan is still playing his guitar. Let's go over here to Mark Schlabaugh. Mark, you've been basically embedded with Butler, with the Butler fan base throughout the course of your time here in Indianapolis. I think you've been to every hometown of every Butler player. What kind of sense do you have of the Bulldogs right now?
Ronald Norwood's grandmother told me tonight, absolutely, Butler's going to win. If you don't believe it, I'll show you the door. And I've had Butler since...
Wait. She'll show you which door? The door to leave?
The door to her front house. Look, I had Butler picked to win the national championship back in November.
Oh, come on. Wait a minute. I want to see this bracket. Really?
Yeah. No.
Wait. You were covering, like, you know, preseason practice at that time, which, by the way, in all your Butler journalism that you've done here, what can you tell us even about a Butler football team?
I think they need to get one.
I think they actually have one.
Yeah. I think Butler wins by double digits. I really do. I'm serious. I saw them in.
Wait. Butler, I don't know if they've beaten anyone by double digits this year. That would essentially mean that it would have to be like 50-38.
Oh, you're right. So they don't win by double digits. They win by a couple buckets. But I was with them in Salt Lake City, and they defend the heck out of you. And I think we're going to see what happened to Duke, what happened to Baylor in Houston is going to happen to Duke. Duke's not going to come out and shoot lights out like they did last night. They're not going to get as many open looks. Butler's going to defend the perimeter. I think the fact that Butler was able to beat Michigan State with essentially nothing from Matt Howard, nothing from Shelvin Mack, I just think this team's destined to win it in their hometown, and I think they're going to find a way to get it done.
You know, before we move over to Eamon, because he's still playing. You know, I'm curious, you have had this tendency to be in every sort of hot spot since you've been covering the tournament for us at .com. You were in Tampa, you were in Salt Lake. What is it? I mean, because you sort of parachute into to covering college basketball, and then, you know, somehow you're always fortunate to find the upsets. What is it about the way you cover games?
I think it's a lot of journalistic skill. But there's a chance I'm going to watch this game from Hinkle Fieldhouse tomorrow night. That's the plan we're debating right now. So, you know, if you guys want to see a competitive game, you probably need to talk David Albright into letting me actually stay in Lucas Oil Stadium, where you're probably going to see a 30-point blowout. But regardless, it's been one of the best tournament runs I've seen, and it's good to have two teams here who actually recruit players that stay for 4 years, get their degrees, have no intention of jumping to the NBA after a year, and I think they put the team concept back into college basketball, and I think it's a good thing for the sport.
Meanwhile, while we're having this podcast here at a downtown Indianapolis restaurant, there are actual paparazzi that have multiply taken pictures outside the window, and they are gathering as we speak. So this is a little bizarre for us because it is just a podcast. All right, now joined by Eamon Brennan, our esteemed blogger, and not to date you, not that I wouldn't, but I mean, just you're a little younger than the rest of us. So I just want to put you in perspective here. If Butler were to win, okay, how do you think for those in college in their early 20s, I mean, what would this say about college basketball at this point?
Well, first of all,
you are speaking for the generation right now.
Yes, I consider myself a voice of a generation. If you didn't hear my guitar playing earlier, I liken myself to a young Bob Dylan. But I think it would say to not only young people, but general college basketball fans that for all the inequality that comes from, you know, rich programs versus mid-majors, that there are opportunities for unheralded players to do really well in college basketball, and for if you, you know, catch lightning in a bottle and put a bunch of those players together and get lucky that you can take those players to the absolute apex of the sport.
You know, for the generation right now that's in school and that is just coming out of school, you know, there were at times there were war protests. I mean, but we've not had like marches. I mean, there've been lately in Washington we've had marches, but in the rest of the country, I think, if this if this Butler win occurs, I think we literally could have a march down Meridian Street. You know what I mean? Almost like a passionate political march, but in a festive way if Butler wins. I've been pushing this. What do you think the reality is that if Butler wins, they walk out of Lucas Oil Stadium, march with that trophy down to camp?
Well, I think it has to happen if they win. I'm all for it. I don't know if it would classify or qualify as a political march or have any sort of meaning politically whatsoever, except unless you're very very pro mid-major and you have, you know, you're we shall overcome large athletic budgets or something. But I think it sure would be a lot of fun, and you know, I would join in and be a good time.
I do think that's true. Yes, they will be singing the hymn of "We Shall Overcome High Majors." That is classic. Mark, I'm going to bring you back here for a minute because you haven't strayed. You obviously tend to cover more college football. This would not occur in a BCS setup.
No,
you don't have the mic yet, so don't talk. Why can't those in college football that you're so close to, why can't they see the value? A lot of the conference commissioners are here, as they are at every Final Four. How can they not see the value of having a matchup like this?
You know, it's the equivalent of Missouri taking on a Georgia or somebody like that. Look, if you're going to expand the NCAA basketball tournament to 96 teams, why can't you let 8 college football teams fight for a national championship? I mean, it's just mind-boggling. I mean, you're going to take college basketball players and you keep them out of class for a month unless you play at Butler and you go class tomorrow. But, I mean, and you can't let college football players miss a couple of weeks to play a playoff? At least give me a plus one. But, I mean, it's like Ronald Norwood today. I was talking to him. He's a big Alabama football fan. And he said, you know, it's a shame that you're never going to see a Boise State against an Alabama or a Boise State against a Notre Dame, or not Notre Dame, that's more like Butler, but USC against Boise State or TCU, because TCU and Boise State are never going to get that second game. They're never going to get past the semifinals and have a chance to play for a title.
All right, before we get to our predictions, and as you can hear, Dane is obviously now taking the mic. let's go first with Eamon. Here's what we're going to do with Eamon. Eamon, we're going to go first. I want to go prediction with your mind and with your heart, okay?
Well, my mind says Tiger, but my heart says Daly. No, I think Duke wins, but I think heart.
You both say Duke.
Would it be a much, much better story and much more interesting and a lot more fun if Butler won? Absolutely. But I think they have the uphill road. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, Duke is just sort of on one of those runs where it's just one of those ant crusher runs. Like, they don't care, and they're just playing really, really well. And for all the, you know, emotion that comes along with what Butler's done, it's hard for me to see. Intellectually, it's hard for me to see Butler winning, but would it be a lot more fun if they did? Absolutely.
Mark, mind and heart, where are you going?
Doesn't have a heart. You don't have a pulse if you're not pulling for Butler. I mean, Mike Krzyzewski's got the American Express commercials. I'm not even sure if Brad Stevens is old enough to have an American Express card. But, I'm going with Butler. I think everybody in America is pulling for Butler. And I think mind tells you Duke's going to win, but I just can't see Brian Zubek being the difference for why Duke wins. And I look at Duke and I don't see anything special.
So you're going Butler?
I see three guys. But as I said last night, I told somebody last night, Duke has 3 players, Butler has 2. So my mind tells me, even with my handicapped math, Duke wins.
All right. I think, so we have 2 Dukes, sort of. All right, Dana, you're off the set here. Let's go mind and heart. That was a good set you had just there.
Thank you.
Off your new release. So mind and heart.
Well, you know, women don't actually think with their mind. They only think with their heart, as you all know. So I'm going Butler all the way.
Butler all the way for Dana. Pat, I'm going to reach across here. I think I know where you're going here, but I have to ask it. Mind and heart.
Well, anybody with a heart is going for Butler. In my mind, well, and as David Albright, the Greek chorus chimes in, everybody with a mind is going for Duke. However, I will say this, that since I have been so entrenched in doubting Duke, why should I go back now? I might as well continue to doubt Duke one more time while I have the chance. Butler wins the game, 59-56 on a three-pointer by Zach Hahn at the buzzer.
And do they march down Meridian?
They march down Meridian with Bobby Plump out front, next to the guys holding the trophy.
If it occurs, does Brad Stevens pump his fist? Does he calmly accept the trophy and trim the net?
I think even Brad Stevens might pump a fist on this. And you remember, Andy, when they went to the Final Four, he allowed himself a running chest bump with his guys. He might let it go for once. We might get to see Brad Stevens act a little crazy.
All right, I've been completely wrong throughout this entire tournament. So if anyone went with my picks, they lost right away because I had UTEP. I had my early crush on the Miners. They were my sleeping beauty who never saw a prince. So I was completely wrong. I gave up. Yeah. Was I wrong on that?
You said Sleeping Beauty
with
Cinderella? No.
No, doesn't... I thought Sleeping Beauty. Didn't someone wake up Sleeping Beauty? Yes. Someone. Who wakes up Sleeping Beauty? No one knows? Someone wakes up Sleeping Beauty. West Virginia fans are outside now. I'm going to go still with Duke winning the national title, even though my heart says Butler. I'm concerned about Matt Howard being able to be effective. Even if he doesn't play, Avery Jukes and Andrew Smith, I'm not convinced they can do much with Brian Zubek. So, unfortunately, I think it's going to be Duke. That's my prediction. I would love to see Butler win. So, basically, I'm in the minority here, although I'm likely in the majority with what the rest of the country believes that Duke would win, which is fine. I mean, I think they've had a very good year. And Eamon, I'll let you help me close this. Characterize... what this season has... I mean, what would be the statement of the season if Duke were to win this?
I think the statement of the season would be that this is real life and it's not the movies. The tournament's been awesome, but talent wins, better players win, money wins. And if you're Butler, you can put these sorts of things together, but when you come up against a team like Duke who's playing really well and who has All-Americans on their team, McDonald's All-Americans, and recruits the best players in the country every year and has a bench full of All-Americans, basically, the real world is cynical and it's not, Gene Hackman's not here. So it's hard for me it's been a great tournament, it's been a great season, but in the end, usually talent and money wins out.
Mark, you want the mic or no?
Yeah.
All right, Mark wants a closing thought.
I think more than anything else, this Final Four has told us that you can go out and you can sign a John Wall, you can sign a DeMarcus Cousins.
Ooh, I don't know where you're going here, but they were only like one game away from getting here.
Well, they're not here. I mean, that's the bottom line. And you look at a team like Butler, those guys have played together for 3 or 4 years for the most part. You look at Duke, those big three have played together for the last 3 years. Experience, taking shots together, passing the ball together, staying in hotel rooms together. That's what wins you NCAA championships.
I agree with you, except I will say that this particular season, it was easier to do that in 06 and 08. I don't think it would have occurred. Maybe not even 09 with UConn and North Carolina. Well, for my esteemed colleagues, Mark Schlabaugh, Eamon Brennan, Dan O'Neill, Pat Forty, I'm Andy Katz from ESPN.com. And go to our website. You're obviously probably still there if you're downloading this. But enjoy our coverage. Enjoy the game of the national championship.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's show. For more great podcasts, check out the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com.